I invite you to open your Bibles back to the book of 1 Corinthians to this afternoon, but we're going to back up to chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and if you will, find verse 23, and when you found that, please stand. Together we're going to pray, ask the Lord to bless his word. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, and I'm going to ask Brother Ryan Barnes if you would to open us in prayer. Amen. While you're still standing, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, the Apostle Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Amen. Please be seated. This afternoon, after this service is over, our church is going to observe the Lord's Supper. And I want to take a little bit of time this afternoon to remind you of what the Scriptures teach us about it. The Apostle Paul, of course, is pointing back to that night that Jesus was betrayed. We can read about it in Luke chapter 22. You can read about it in Mark 14 and Matthew 26. And I think Matthew 26 in particular is the one most of us are most familiar with. But the Lord, after taking the Passover with his disciples, he makes a movement from Passover, looking back to when God delivered Israel from the death of the firstborn. The Passover lamb was taken, the blood was spilled, the blood was applied to the doorpost and the lintel, and death passed over them. And Jesus would observe that with his disciples and eat that Passover with them, but then he would switch and institute something new. And he would tell them to take and eat of the bread which represented his flesh and to drink of the wine which represented his blood. And he would institute what we call the Lord's Supper or communion. And this is a beautiful picture of what Christ came to do for us, a time for us to remember. Now, we're not going to dig too deep into chapter 11, but if you were to go back to chapter 17, you'll see the problems that they were having. The church at Corinth was coming together for the worse because there were divisions in the church, there was heresies in the church, there were gluttons in the church and drunkenness in the church. And when they came together in that way, they had turned the Lord's Supper into basically a big party, and people who had plenty were keeping it to themselves and not sharing with those who were poor. And those who were poor didn't have anything to bring, and so they went with nothing. And they had turned it into basically a big feast where people who had did they had, and others didn't have anything, and there was drunkenness and gluttony, and it was just a mess. And he said, when you come together like that, that's not to eat the Lord's Supper. You have corrupted what this is all about. And as a matter of fact, the Lord was so upset with that church that some of them were sick and some of them had even died because of what they had done to the Lord's Supper. So just remember, this is serious in the eyes of God. Amen. We need to be careful that we rightly discern the Lord's body. And he says, do you despise the church of God and shame those that don't have, that have not, or those who are poor and needy? And so we don't want to despise the body of Christ. We don't want to despise the church of God by not coming to the table in the right way. Now, you remember that it's a picture. There are two pictures involved here, the bread and the cup. The bread represents the body of Christ. It's unleavened to show that he is without sin, and his body was torn for us. Now, remember, this was an unleavened bread. It would have been torn. We know that not a bone of Jesus was broken, because that's what the prophet said, but we certainly understand that his body was torn. His body, his flesh was torn for our sins. His flesh was torn, which was also pictured in the veil that was torn from top to bottom. And so the bread pictures the body of Christ that was torn for our sins. The cup is the New Testament in his blood, the blood that was poured out at Calvary to take away our sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And by taking the bread And by drinking of that cup, we remember what Christ has done. That's the picture that is given. Notice the people that are there. They have fellowship in the body of Christ. When we look at the accounts in the New Testament, Luke 22:14 says, when the hours come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. It was a very intimate setting with only a few. We understand that this letter, 1 Corinthians, was written to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. And I would remind you this afternoon that the Lord's Supper is not for everyone. It has always been restricted. Christians throughout all ages have restricted the table. We know that if it's somebody who doesn't believe, they can't come to the table. We see by example in the New Testament, Acts 2, verse 41 and 42. Acts 2, 41 and 42. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And there's a pattern that's set here in Acts chapter 2, I believe, where those who received his word, they were saved. And then they were baptized. And of course, we understand they were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus commanded. And then those who were saved and baptized were added unto the church. Now, what does that mean? Friends, I want you to understand something today. Having your name on a church roll does not make you a church member. A member of the body of Christ is described for us in the New Testament vividly. They are somebody who's connected as a part of a body. There's somebody who is growing together as part of a body. A healthy body should grow. And they are serving. They are working together, striving together as a part of a body ought to. And I would submit to you this afternoon that being a member of one of the Lord's local New Testament churches has to do with how you live, not where your name's written down on a piece of paper. Somebody may have their name on our church roll, but they are not connected. They're not growing together, and they're not serving the Lord in this church. And so biblically, while we may say they're a member because their name's on a roll, they're not acting as members. And I want to encourage you that you always strive to be faithful and act as a member of the church. Connected, growing, serving. So there was it's always been restricted. This is not just biblically. We see that they were added to the church, and they continued steadfastly together in doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, that is, in taking the supper and in prayers. And so there is a connection there. It wasn't just for everybody. Jesus didn't institute the Lord's table on the seashores of Galilee with the multitudes there. He fed them with bread and fish, but that wasn't the Lord's table. You understand the distinction? It was always restricted biblically, and it's also always been restricted throughout history. In the churches early on, things were written by men like Justin Martyr, who talked about the food called among us the Eucharist, and no one is allowed to partake but the man who believes that the things which we teach are true, and has been washed, and whoso is living as Christ has enjoined. So even early on in the first and second century, church leaders recognized that there was a restriction to those who were a part of the church and faithful in it. So these people were in fellowship in the body of Christ. They were in fellowship, and there was a faithfulness. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18, he says, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. In other words, when you come together in this way, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. The condition of the church matters. If we have divisions in the church, if we have heresies in the church, if the church is not in unity with one heart and one mind, it's not a time to eat the Lord's Supper, because God wants us to have unity. So the condition of the church matters as a whole. And as a pastor, I believe that as the under-shepherd, God's called me to know the condition of the flock. And though we're never going to be sinless, we can have unity. And we can be of one accord. So we need to be careful. And then, of course, there's the examination of self, that we have to look at ourselves. Look down at verse 27. Remember, we read verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Verse 27 says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily or in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily or in an unworthy manner eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And it's very important that we understand what the body of Christ is. That's literal. That you understand that Jesus was God in the flesh and that he gave his body to be given for our sins. That his flesh was torn, that his blood was poured out for our sins. But not just the body of Christ literally, but the body of Christ spiritually, which is the church. And we need to understand what the church is. We understand that it is the body of Christ spiritually, that those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are by the Spirit put into Christ. And those who are in Christ have been separated from the world, called out from the world, and called to live in holiness. And when you understand that, then we need to examine ourselves and be careful how we eat. Now, I need you guys to get this because, and I know I've pointed it out before, but I was so confused by this as a young man. When I read about eating and drinking unworthily, I thought it meant unworthy. And I thought, you know what, I'm never going to be worthy of the body and blood of Christ. So I should never partake of the Lord's Supper. Friends, if it meant to be unworthy, then no one would ever eat and drink. You guys understand that, right? No one ever. No one. But it doesn't say unworthy, it says unworthily. This has to do with the manner. It doesn't matter whether you, it's not saying whether you deserve to take or not. It means the manner in which you take. So, if you come like the Corinthians were doing, and somebody's overeating, they're just being gluttons and getting drunk, and it's just a ridiculous blasphemy of what the supper is, then you don't partake like that. But if you'll examine yourself, then you'll understand that you come only by the grace of God. If you'll examine yourself, then you'll remember that Christ paid the price for your sins. If you'll examine yourself, then you can come in a right manner. What is that? Thankful. Grateful. Humble. I think that we ought to come to the table with great humility. And thankfulness for who Christ is and what he's done for us. The people were in fellowship through Christ. The people were in faithfulness. It was the condition of the church was right. The examination of self has to be made right. Unworthily means, ultimately, it means irreverently. Albert Barnes said it like this. If he has knowledge to discern the Lord's body, if he has true repentance for his sins, true faith in the Lord Jesus, and a sincere desire to live the life of a Christian and to be like the Son of God and be saved by the merits of his blood, let him examine himself and see whether he have the right feelings of a communicant and can approach the table in a proper manner. So that's how we want to come. And the process is this. He took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then the bread, after the bread, the cup. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And then we read in Mark 14:26, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And when we partake of the supper here together, we try to match the pattern that's set for us in Scripture, to follow the process the best that we can. None of us are ever going to be worthy of what Christ has done. But he didn't die for us because we deserve it. Amen. He died for us because we needed it. Amen. Because he loves us. Let's stand together. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace, I ask that you would help us to discern your body. Understand who you are and what you did for us on Calvary. That we would discern your body, that we would understand the nature of the church, what it is, how you in your grace and mercy have saved all who believe and make us one in Christ. You place us in your body. You make us a part of yourself. You give us an inheritance with you. And Lord, you forgive us and you cleanse us And I pray that you would help us every day to remember Christ and these special times when we observe the supper, that it will help us to be mindful now and until you come again to remember who you are and what you've done for us. Please forgive our sin. Please help us to examine our hearts now and come in a right manner. And we pray it and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to dismiss this part of our service. I want to give you guys just a second. And I'll remind you here.